This weekend's race at Fontana is going to be a super interesting one because it has a little bit of everything. We have the package, the new Aero package that debuted 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas, back in play here once again for Fontana. It is also at a larger track, 2 miles in length, which means the package should play up to its truly full potential. But also, Fontana is a track that can eat up tires, meaning drivers are going to have to wheel those puppies for the entire 200 laps, which means it's going to be a pretty fun race to watch. And I'm excited to see how things go down on Sunday. Let's break it all down, though, from a DFS perspective. So welcome on in to the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire. That is right here on numberfire.com. And, of course, the Number Fire Podcast Network. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for numberfire.com, here to break down the Auto Club 400 from a DFS perspective. As mentioned, this will be the second race with the full new Aero package. The first one was in Las Vegas, and I think it was pretty interesting. We'll talk about the implications of that Vegas race in just a second. But first, some logistics for this weekend. First practice is set to get underway Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Qualifying is that evening at 5:40. And then first practice on Saturday is at noon. The second one is at 3:30, and those will be highly impactful for our driver selection. Again, we'll talk more about that in the track breakdown. Lock is not until 3:30 on Sunday. This is the final race in the West Coast swing for NASCAR. So final one with a later lock at 3:30 Sunday. So plenty of time to get that in and then get your NCAA tournament brackets ready. Before we take a look at our track breakdown, let's talk about that NCAA tournament because it is the most exciting time in college basketball and FanDuel has you covered. Get in on the action today and create a free bracket before the start of the tournament to compete for a share of $250,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. Then come back and bet every day of the tournament. Just go to FanDuel.com/madness to sign up, and then you can fill out your bracket once they are released on Sunday night. That is FanDuel.com/madness. Start getting your bets in now for tournament time, and don't miss out on your free bracket. Limit one bracket per user, must be 21 plus to enter, no purchase necessary. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's take a look at the track breakdown here for Fontana. And as mentioned, the big key for this weekend will be the new Aero package. We saw that in full force in Las Vegas. And, you know, at the beginning of runs, we did see pack racing. Those eventually got strung out. So it was a bit different from what we've seen traditionally in Talladega and Daytona. But things were really tight after restarts. And there was also a close finish to this race with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano going head-to-head for the past couple of laps, and it made it seem like passing was easier than it had been in years past. And that is backed up by data. According to Mike Ford of ESPN, there were 47 passes for the lead during the race and 3,345 green flag passes. Those are both really big numbers, and both were records for a race at Las Vegas. So that means the Aero package played out exactly the way we thought it would. And that is even with there being just two cautions for the entire race, and those two cautions being for the two stage breaks. We didn't get a lot of cautions to bunch cars up, but there was still a lot of passing and a lot of action at the front of the pack. That means we could see even more passing if there are more cautions and more restarts during this race on Sunday. So I think that we should expect a bit more action this weekend, even than an already increased amount of action in Las Vegas, and Fontana, with the heavy tire wear, should get more cautions than we had 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas. The package basically played the way we expected, and what we thought going in was that we would thought it would make racking up a bunch of laps harder, and it would make it easier to get place differential points. That is exactly how things played out. If you look at the perfect lineup for that Las Vegas race, the drivers in the perfect lineup started that race in 8th, 10th, 18th, 25th, and 28th. So two drivers outside the top 20, and then three outside the top 15. And that was with 26.7 points available for laps led during that race. This week in Fontana, it could be even more important to find those place differential drivers. There are only 200 laps in this race on Sunday, which leaves 20 points available for laps led. Again, it was 26.7 in Las Vegas. That's a smaller number and the smallest we have had since Daytona. It was really hard to mop up in laps led at Fontana even before this new package came into play. Only four drivers have led more than 70 laps in a race at Fontana here over the past four races. That means that you were getting, at most, one driver who had a truly impactful number of laps led in a race. Now, if the racing is closer and there are more passes for the lead, it's going to spread those laps led out even more and make it even more essential that we get upside via place differential rather than laps led. So that would push us towards the back, prioritizing drivers who don't qualify well. That's not to say you should completely ignore drivers at the front, though. Even at Daytona, we were okay targeting drivers up front if we assumed they were going to win. That is the key for tournaments, is making assumptions and deciding who you think is going to win the race. Let's pretend it's Joey Logano for a second. It doesn't matter where Joey Logano starts. If he wins, he is going to score well. You will want that guy on your roster. After that, you have to ask yourself whether the other drivers in your prospective lineup can score well, assuming that they don't get the win. Let's say Harvick starts fourth. Pretty much everybody else in the top 10 is going to be a tough sell because they will not have as much upside for laps led if we assume Harvick gets a win and leads some laps in the process. So if we pick Harvick, who starts fourth, to win, we're probably not going to want anyone in the top 10 on our roster. But if Harvick's starting 18th and we assume he wins, there could be someone else starting towards the front who will lead laps led before Harvick works his way up there and could finish well as well. That could be a scenario in which you would have someone at the front who you do not assume to be the winner. So the other drivers in your lineup kind of stem from making that assumption around who you think is going to win the race. It's just harder to get super jazzed about having multiple drivers up front in the same lineup if you assume that one of them will not win. I will occasionally do this in multi-entry tournaments if I decide to go with two drivers at the front, but I think that would have to be a situation where I see two drivers who stand out above the crowd in practice. If I see that, then maybe I'd go with them no matter where they're starting, and I think that they kind of gobble up all the laps led between themselves, but it would be more common for me to have either one or zero cars starting at the front in each lineup for this weekend. For cash games, I'm going to flood the back. Like, I think that, you know, I'm not going to go with drivers starting 30th on back necessarily, but I want to find drivers who have the ability to finish in the top 10 who are starting 15th or lower. If I can get all those in cash games and fill up an entire roster with them, I'll feel pretty good. For tournaments, again, making assumptions that could lead to fading the front entirely, but I'm not opposed to using one driver and potentially maybe two drivers in the top 10, but one driver in the top 10 will likely be my most popular build for this weekend. If you're trying to identify which drivers could finish well despite starting poorly, you're going to get data via 10-lap averages in practice. If we look back to Las Vegas, all five drivers in the perfect lineup were in the top 12 in 10-lap averages during final practice. So even though there was drafting, we still got relevant data from practice because you can kind of mitigate the concerns around that by increasing the sample size. Four of the drivers in the perfect lineup were in the top 9 in 10-lap averages during final practice, so we should get 10-lap averages for most drivers. Last year at Fontana, 28 drivers had a 10-lap run in final practice. 18 did so in the second-to-last practice. That was on Saturday. And I think that when you think about this anecdotally, teams are going to want to get at least one longer run under the belt. Tire wear is a major factor in Fontana, and getting a full run in there will tell the crew chiefs how the tires will perform at the end of a run. So I would assume most drivers will get 10-lap averages out there. If they don't, it likely means that their car is not performing well and they're spending a lot of time in the garage. So I'd actually view a driver who does not have a 10-lap average as being a bit of a red flag. I would assume most drivers will get at least one 10-lap run in there. We'll see how they perform there and make some decisions based on that. I think that some other things you can put stock into if you're looking to try to find drivers who will move from the front to the back or from the back to the front, you can put some stock in how drivers have performed in Las Vegas and Atlanta with the 550 horsepower packages there. It was not the full package in Atlanta, but there was some overlap. And I'll put a little bit of stock in Daytona too, just because there should be some drafting here. If you're looking back to 2018, the most similar track to Fontana is Michigan. That's the other 2-mile track on the schedule. The tire wear there, not as significant as Fontana, so it's not a one-to-one relationship, but, you know, there is some overlap. So I think that you can put some stock in that, but I would probably put more stock in what happened in Atlanta and Las Vegas than I necessarily would in Fontana and Michigan from last year. So quick summary again of what we're looking for this weekend. We want to make assumptions in tournaments, find a driver we'll think will win, and then get some place differential points after that. And just overall, you want to target place differential based on the way things figure to play out for this weekend. I'm not saying stack the back like we do in Daytona, but find drivers who will finish better than they start, because there's not a lot of upside to be had via laps led for this race. Before we take a look at the salary tiers for this weekend, gotta let you know, with March now upon us, there is not a better time than now to give NumberFire Premium a try. Brackets come out this Sunday, and we've got everything you need for gambling picks to bracket advice to dominate the best time of year for college hoops. Plus, we got you covered with everything in between, with tools for PGA, NBA, NHL, and the upcoming MLB season. Get your first month for just $9.99 when you sign up today with promo code CHAMPION. That is promo code CHAMPION. Visit numberfire.com/premium for more details. numberfire.com/premium with the promo code being CHAMPION. Let's take a look at the tier-by-tier breakdown for this weekend on FanDuel. Starting off with Kyle Busch, he is $14,800 on FanDuel. Kevin Harvick is $14,500. Martin Truex Jr., the defending champ of this race, $13,700. Brad Keselowski is $13,200. Joey Logano is $12,800. And Kyle Larson is also $12,800. Actually, Larson is $12,400. So Larson $12,400, Logano $12,800 for this weekend. If we're looking at this tier from a current form perspective, I think that Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Joey Logano are kind of in their own tier. Busch won in Phoenix, Logano won in Las Vegas, the two most recent races, and that Las Vegas win for Logano was with this package. Harvick has had a top 10 average running position in 7 straight races. That is awesome. He also finished first and second in the 2 Michigan races last year, led a lot of laps there as well. Busch was top 4 in all 3 races at 2-mile tracks at Fontana and Michigan. Logano ran well here, but he truly picked up toward the end of last year, and obviously based on that win in Las Vegas, has carried that over into 2019 as well. So if I'm looking at these three guys, Busch, Harvick, Logano, straight up, I would rank Harvick highest, followed by Busch and then Logano, but Logano is not as far off as his salary would indicate. He is $1,700 cheaper than Harvick. He is $2,000 cheaper than Busch. I think that gap is much smaller, and I think that Logano is in their same tier. So Logano, to me, his win odds are also longer at 8-1, but I think he's probably being a bit underrated based on his salary and based on his odds, because his current form is just so good. If we're looking at track history, Truex won here last year, and he mopped up. Larson, he actually won 4 straight races at 2-mile tracks at one point. So those two guys, Truex and Larson, are really good on these tracks. I'm just not sure how much to trust track history with this new package. Larson did lead a bunch of laps in Atlanta, but he struggled in Las Vegas. Truex also didn't blow me away in Las Vegas despite finishing 8th there, so I want to monitor these two guys in practice. If they look good, I will buy in super quickly. I'm just not going to bump them up too much based on track history alone, so I kind of want to see it before I buy in. So with those two guys, that's the way I'm doing it there. Keselowski is last in this tier for me, though he does do well in drafting normally. He just doesn't have the same current form as Logano, Busch, and Harvick, and he's not as good here as Truex and Larson. So Keselowski just doesn't quite pop anywhere for me. And I think that's why I would have him below the other guys in this tier. But if he's crazy fast in practice, I will change my tune on that in a hurry. Moving down to the second tier on FanDuel, that is Denny Hamlin at 11-3 through Clint Boyer at 10-3. And Hamlin has had a really consistent start to this season. He has had a top 9 average running position in 3 straight races. The one race this year where he did not have that was in Daytona. But he actually won that race with a 12th place average running position. So 4 straight races with really impressive runs for Hamlin. I kind of think he is underpriced too. If I were putting them in tiers, excluding salaries, I would say that Hamlin is closer to the Keselowski, Larson, Truex tier than he is to the other guys in this pricing range around 11 or 10,000. So Hamlin, to me, potentially a bit underpriced on FanDuel for this weekend. The other guy I like in this tier is Ryan Blaney, because I think that the bad finishes are tainting what has been a really fast car and a really talented driver. He had a 23rd place average running position in Las Vegas, which is likely our best comp for this race, but what's masked in there is that Blaney blew a tire early in that race and could never get back on the lead lap. He had a fast car. He's teammates with Logano and Keselowski, who finished first and second in that one. I think Penske cars are really good. Last week, Blaney bounced back. He finished third, had a 6th place average running position, led a good number of laps. I am willing to use Blaney as my anchor if he is fast in practice. So if I want to make the assumption that Ryan Blaney wins, it gives me flexibility to use someone like Busch, Harvick, Logano for place differential and still not cap the upside of my team. So I like Blaney a lot as an anchor if he shows speed in practice, and I will be monitoring very closely for this weekend. Moving down to the mid-tier, that's Erik Jones at 9-8 through Ryan Newman at 7-6. It's not an overly robust tier because there is a pretty big drop-off from Jones down to Stenhouse, but I do like both Jones and Stenhouse. Starting with Jones, he had a 7th place average running position in both career races at Fontana. He's been here twice, top 7 average running position both times. He had a 13th place average running position in each of the first 3 races this year, finished 3rd in Daytona. He won the Daytona race last July, so he should do well in this package. Does well in Fontana, does well in Daytona, and I think that those are the best data points we have for drivers entering this race. Jones, just 13th in Las Vegas, not great there, but he was 6th in 10 lap averages, so he had speed, and I think that he is a dark horse contender to win at $9,800, and I don't know if I'd put him in the same tier as Blaney as far as my willingness to use him as an anchor, but if Jones is in a spot to get place differential, I will be fully in on him there. I also do like Stenhouse, as mentioned, at 8-9. He looked awesome in the new package at Las Vegas. And again, I think that that's a race we should focus on quite a bit. He started 8th in that race. He had an 8th place average running position, and he finished 6th. His previous career best at Las Vegas prior to that race was a 12th place finish. And again, 6th this year. He has finished better than 15th just once in his career at Fontana, but I think given what we saw at Las Vegas and given how much this package suits his strengths, that could very well change this weekend. I think Stenhouse is a really fun asset at $8,900. And I think if you want to pick a guy who has a little bit longer odds and has a non-zero shot at winning, I kind of think Stenhouse might be your guy. So Ricky Stenhouse Jr., a name I will definitely be tracking closely as we get set for this weekend. Let's move down to the value tier. That is Austin Dillon at $7,400 through Chris Buescher at $6,500. And Dillon is similar to Jones. He's a discount version of Jones, so not quite as good as Jones, where he has a blend of restrictor plate success and success on this track type. Dillon, for all of 2018, had just 2 top 5 finishes. One was at the Daytona 500, again, drafting there. The other was at Michigan, which is the most similar track to California. He has had a top 14 average running position in 3 straight races at Fontana, and he was also crazy fast in Las Vegas. So we know that these cars have some speed at this package. The caveat to that is that the speed for Dillon and for Daniel Hemric, his teammate, did not carry over into the race. So if Dillon qualifies well, I will jump out on him pretty quickly. But I think if he is in position to get place differential points, he would be a really fun play at $7,400. Daniel Suarez right beneath him at 73. He had more bad luck last week. He had a dust-up in qualifying with Michael McDowell, actually got in a fight on pit road with him, and then during the race, his car stalled on the track, got a lap down, and never really could make it back up. But he did have a top 15 average running position in each of the first three races, and his equipment is really good at Stewart Haas Racing. So eventually, I think Suarez's abilities will shine through and translate to a good finish. I would put him slightly above Dylan at $7,300. So Suarez and Dylan, both fun plays in this tier and cheap drivers who could realistically push for a top 10 finish. The final guy to mention in this tier for me is Chris Buescher at $6,500. He finished ninth in Atlanta on that reduced horsepower package. He had a 17th place average running position in Las Vegas. So he has shown well so far in 2019 with the new package. I do need him to qualify poorly to be trusted because he is in lesser equipment, but if Buescher does that, he is a great way to save some salary. So Buescher at 65, the lowest guy I would target with confidence. I think there are some punts you could use, but Buescher, the lowest salary guy who I think has somewhat of a realistic chance to net a top 10 finish for this weekend. Moving down to the punting tier, which is Ty Dillon at 6,000 on down. I'm kind of okay with it this week as long as they have the ability to get a top 15 finish. Matt DiBenedetto could do that at $5,500, maybe Ty Dillon at $6,000, though I do feel better about DiBenedetto just because DiBenedetto's betting odds are much shorter than Ty Dillon's, and DiBenedetto has looked really good when the new package has been in place this year. So putting DiBenedetto highest in this tier at $5,500, followed by Ty Dillon. This driving style with the new package does fit Bubba Wallace, but his equipment is so bad that it's really hard for me to trust him, just because it's not about him. It's just about how bad the petty cars have been for a long time now. So I like Bubba the driver, and if this package were to put more power in his hands, I would buy in, but I have not seen that yet. His average running position in Las Vegas is 23rd, which is just okay. So I think I'm in a wait-and-see mode with Wallace, and I'd rather pay up for DiBenedetto, Ty Dillon, or preferably get up to Chris Buescher and the Suarez and Dillon tier. That does wrap up our tier-by-tier breakdown for this weekend at the Auto Club 400 on FanDuel. But before we go, gotta give picks to win. In the opening segment, in the Elites tier, I talked about how I thought Joey Logano was being a bit underrated, and I stand by that. So Logano, of the guys with shorter odds, I think he would be my favorite pick. He is 8-1 to win. I think that that's a pretty good price for him. He's $12,800 on FanDuel. I think that's lower than it should be too. So I'm going to pick Logano as my winner for this week in Fontana, even though he already has a win this year. Not as fun, but you know, whatever. If I'm looking at a driver who has a salary below $10,000, and I think this actually makes sense, not just from a DFS perspective, but also from a betting perspective, I like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I love what I saw from him in Las Vegas. We know how good he is in the draft, and we know how aggressive he can be. That can be detrimental for DFS because it makes him super high variance because he could crash at any second. But for betting, it's kind of fun. And there is a lot of upside for him in DFS too, if he can make it through the full race unscathed. So Stenhouse, $8,900, he is 65-1 to win. I think if I'm looking at someone below $10,000, he is the one who intrigues me most. His betting odds are longer than Johnson and Bowman. I don't think that should be the case. So give me Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at $8,900 and 65-1 to win this race in Fontana. Like I said, should be a really fun race. I liked what I saw from the package in Las Vegas in the initial glimpse, but we should see it in its full form this weekend. Given how big this track is, I think it'll be closer to Daytona than what we saw in Las Vegas. And that's a pretty exciting proposition, both for DFS and for just a spectator of NASCAR as well. So excited to see how things play out this weekend. Don't forget to subscribe to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. A lot of good stuff on there right now. If you're playing PGA, DFS, we have our breakdown for the Players' Championship. $2.25 million on the line this weekend. Broke that down with Brandon Gadula yesterday. That locks on Thursday morning. Tom Vecchio has the Daily ISO. That goes up every morning, breaking down NBA DFS. Next week on Monday, we will have a bracket breakdown with Dr. Ed Fang and Keith Goldner previewing the brackets, which teams you should pick for your pools, depending on the size of the pool as well. So a lot of good stuff coming up, so make sure you subscribe to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. If you have any questions for me, I am on Twitter at Jim Sonnes, J-I-M-S-A-N-N-E-S. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, P-O-D-S as in podcast. Do want to thank you all for tuning in for today. Good luck with your DFS lineups for the Auto Club 400, and we'll talk to you again next week. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire.